we should be constantly looking to the Lord. He is our Savior. He is our guide. He is our helper. He is our Lord. And He knows whatever we need. He knows all that we need. And He supplies all of our needs. And we need to ever be looking unto Him. We should look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. It is good to be back this evening. It's good to see each of you back this evening. I'm filling in for Brother Mason this evening, and we're going to invite you to turn to the scripture lesson that was read just a few moments ago. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. We want to talk to you this evening using as the specific title of our lesson, the power of silent preaching. The power of silent preaching. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 4. We want to express appreciation at this time for Brother Drexel Green doing a fine job directing us in our singing this evening. We appreciate Brother Drexel. He exemplifies the reality of the proverb, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. We all remember his dad and what a fine song leader his dad was back years and years ago. It's amazing how fast the time passes. And as the time passes, we pass as well. Brothers and sisters, much beloved, are moving on off the scene. And that's the way life is. That's a demonstration of the great cycle of life. We are born, we grow up, we become adults, we grow old, and we pass off the scene. That's a reality that all of us must face eventually. Even if we don't want to face it, it is a reality that we must face. And we must cooperate with the immutable plan of God. Paul mentions in Hebrews 9, verse number 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. The power of silent preaching. Peter is talking to wives who had husbands who either were not Christians or husbands who were Christians but had defected from the faith, who had lapsed into a tragic state of unfaithfulness. Peter has a special message for them, but the message he has for them is also a message that is relevant to us and a message that we should heed as individual Christians. He says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, if some are not obedient to the word of God, he says, you still be submissive to that husband as a faithful wife. that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the behavior, by the conduct. The King James says, by the conversation of their wives. He's saying to the wives, you can have an influence on your husbands by the way you behave, by the way you act, by the way you conduct yourself. So when they observe or when they see your chaste conduct, and chaste simply means restrained, pure, innocent, morally pure or decent, not sinful, pure in thought and act. So Peter says, when they observe your conduct that is morally pure and not sinful, you will have a positive influence and impact upon them. Your conduct is to be accompanied by or coupled with fear, that is, with reverence for God. You will demonstrate by your behavior that you trust in God, that you rely on God. And he says in verse 3, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on a fine apparel. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a nice hairdo, arranging your hair in an attractive way. There's nothing wrong with wearing gold. There's nothing wrong with putting on fashionable clothing, of course, as long as it is modest, as long as it conforms to God's divine standards. He says, but don't let your adornment be merely or only focused on outward arranging of hair and jewelry and wearing of nice clothes. That's important, and you want to look nice. You want your wife to look nice. You want her to dress nice. You want her to wear appropriate jewelry. You want her to wear appropriate hairstyles. That's all fine and good, but don't put too much emphasis on the outward person. Don't put too much emphasis on clothing. Don't put too much emphasis on jewelry. Don't put too much emphasis on your hairdo. Right. He says, rather the emphasis should be placed on the inner person. Right. Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, right, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. It's wonderful that God regards the inner man as being of vital importance. And God, who sees the inner man, focuses on the inner man, regards the hidden person with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, he regards that very highly. It is very precious in his sight, much more precious than the so-called woman's best friend, the diamond. So much more precious than silver and gold and even platinum. So much more precious than emeralds or pearls. or any of the fine, exquisite stones that are much set by. God values the pure inner person as being very precious in his sight. Because the inner person is not corruptible. See, this outer person is corruptible. No matter how you dress it up, no matter how many facelifts you get, no matter how many tummy tucks you get, the body, the physical, the outer body is deteriorating. It is corruptible. And we are going to grow older and older. And no matter what you do, no matter how much makeup you put on, no matter how your hairstyle is, no matter what jewelry you wear, no matter the most expensive fashions you adorn yourself with, you're still going to deteriorate. You know, one of the things that is very disturbing to watch an old woman or an older woman as she's growing old try to wear clothing and styles that are not in keeping with her age, trying to do her best to not grow old. And sometimes they look pretty rough. They look worse by trying to look youthful. Learn to grow old gracefully. Right. Embrace the aging process, because the outer person is gradually deteriorating. I hope as I continue to grow old that I can do so gracefully. Embrace the wrinkles. Treasure the gray hair. And see, they say our hair is either growing gray or turning gray or turning loose, like Brother Drexel's there. But accept, yeah, Drexel, your hair, you don't have any hair, do you? He doesn't have any hair. Yeah, I wasn't just messing with him. Of course, when I look in the mirror, I see that I don't have much hair. Of course, I deliberately shave it off. And when I decided that I was going to start doing that, I didn't know it was this labor intensive. Man, it is tough, Sister Clemens, to maintain a bald head, as it were. You should see the look Sister Clemens has given me and just shaking her head. But we cannot help but grow old. And the only way we can avoid growing old or not grow old is to die young. Yeah, we're going to have to grow old. And though the outward man is perishing, the inward man, that man that the Lord looks at and values, that's precious in his sight, the inward man grows younger, is renewed day by day. And nothing to me is more impressive than a good old man who has a wonderful spirit, who's been faithful to God down through the years. Nothing is more impressive than that. To see a man or see a woman who is beautiful on the inside, who has a gentle and a quiet spirit that God highly values. Consider 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. You're familiar with this passage, but it deserves our revisiting it. 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. He had gone to the house of Jesse the Bethlehemite, the father of David, to anoint one of his sons as the new king over Israel. And he had the sons one by one to pass by for inspection. And when he saw Eliab, the oldest son of David, come before him, he immediately concluded, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." He said, "This got to be one. This got to be the one that's to be selected. He is handsome. He is tall. He is he's very attractive, and he has a great physique. This is king material here." And he said, "This is him." But the Lord interrupted him and said to Samuel, "Don't look at his appearance and at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Now, every husband, he wants a beautiful wife. Every wife wants a handsome husband. But don't be misled, don't be deceived by the outward appearance. I'd much rather have an ugly woman for a wife than a woman with an ugly attitude, an ugly spirit. I have a friend whose wife is less than beautiful. And people might say, what did he see in her? Why in the world would he marry her, especially as good looking as he is? And vice versa. People ask those kinds of questions. What does he see in her? What does this beautiful woman see in him? Well, she sees what you ignore. She's not looking at the outward appearance, but she's looking on the heart. He's not looking at the outward appearance, but he's looking on the heart, like the Lord does. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And we need to develop that marvelous ability to look beneath the surface, to look beyond the external, and to look at the internal, look at the inside. Now, what does all of this have to do with silent preaching? We're talking about the power of silent preaching. We're simply saying that you can preach an effective message by simply living, by simply behaving, by your conduct, by your way of life, without opening your mouth. You can preach a positive sermon. You can communicate a positive message. Now, we have to teach, we have to preach, we have to exclaim the gospel, but a great deal of preaching can be done silently and effectively. That's illustrated preaching, that's illustrated teaching, when you demonstrate the reality of what you are sharing with your lips by the way you conduct your life. You see, when we bring together life and lip, word and deed, practice and profession, belief and behavior, what we are doing is we are bringing the two together, and we are engaged in the process of silent preaching. You know, you can make a lot more headway by effective silent preaching and open the door for many opportunities to teach verbally and teach by articulation if you have demonstrated by your behavior, by your conduct, that you're serious about your mission. Brother Mason has preached for the last three Lord's days on personal evangelism, on sharing the gospel. We can share the gospel more effectively in our teaching by demonstrating the reality of the gospel and the Christian lifestyle as we live from day to day. When we live the life, we increase our credibility exponentially. Your credibility suffers when there is a disconnect between your walk and your talk, between your belief and your behavior. You can talk a good game, but if your walk is lame, your credibility is seriously undermined and your credibility is seriously damaged. And your efforts to convince and convert others is greatly hindered. But there is power in silent preaching. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, as Luke wrote to Theophilus, he said, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." Jesus asked in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 affirms, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, John admonishes, "My little children, let us not love in word or in deed," or in tongue rather, "but in deed and in truth." It's pretty easy to talk a good game, but the rubber meets the road when you demonstrate your teaching by consistent godly living. Edgar A. Guest, many years ago, wrote a poem that is much beloved by Americans. He wrote over 11,000 poems altogether. I'm familiar with a number of them, but my favorite one illustrates very poignantly the reality of the power of silent preaching. Let me share just a small portion of this poem with you. He says, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil, more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the ones who live their creed. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live." Amen. If you want to share the gospel effectively, you must live out the reality of it in your life. You must demonstrate a positive, authentic example. You must exhibit consistency, consistency and integrity by the way you live. Ragged lives have greatly hindered the work of the church in personal evangelism and in pulpit preaching. Some of us don't have very much credibility when it comes to sharing the gospel, but we can strengthen our credibility by strengthening our walk in the Lord. Let us learn the power of silent preaching. Peter said, now, you don't have to nag your husband. You don't have to fuss at him. You don't have to always tell him, why don't you obey the gospel? Why don't you turn your life around? Why don't you become a Christian? Hush. Be quiet. Live the life before him. Live the life before your mate. Live the life before your husband. Live the life before your children. Live the life before your brothers and sisters. And recognize and appreciate and demonstrate the power of silent preaching. But when you do have the opportunity to speak, to teach, and to verbally share the gospel message, you can do so with much greater credibility, having demonstrated your sincerity, having demonstrated your seriousness by the way you have conducted your life. The lesson is yours. Let us think along these terms this week as we go forth into the week. Let us strive to live out the reality of our faith. Let us live the lives that we sing about in our songs. If you are coming up short, if you don't have that balance between life and lip and practice and profession and word and deed and walk and talk and belief and behavior, if there's a serious disconnect there, you can correct the disconnect through repentance, confession, and prayer. Will you do it now as we together stand and as we sing?